Each and always brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Just the 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Lana.
All right, guys. So the city of Long Beach plans to provide dozens of free food carts to vendors as part of its program to aim to support sidewalk vendors. It's called Sidewalk to Success. The program also supports vendors by covering the cost of required business license, health permit fees, as well as some reimbursements for insurance costs. If you're interested, you have until April 19th, that's 4 days away, to submit the application. I will put it on my link on Twitter because it's a long link that you guys will not remember. So make sure you follow me at UNEEQ underscore. So you guys have that if you guys are interested. They're giving up to 40 vendors who meet certain requirements free cards.
All right. Sounds good.
Just go back to the beginning of that. They're giving them free what? I'm just trying to understand the
food
story.
Food carts.
They're giving them free food carts?
So you know when you go to like SoFi Stadium, you know, Crypto.com, there's people that are selling hot dogs.
Right. The bacon-wrapped hot dogs after the game.
So
God,
they're
smell good.
They're called food carts. Mm-hmm. So they have that. And then there's other different types of food carts.
Okay.
So there's different types of food carts that 40 people, 40 vendors can potentially get for free.
Okay, and so if I go to your Twitter,
you're gonna get the link
at UNEEQ underscore.
Yes, sir.
I can get the link and I can apply between now and April 19th.
April 19th.
Now, George, I'm not in the street vendor biz yet. I'll tell you this right now, though. I get one of them carts. You see me outside after a Laker game.
What you gonna cook, Cap?
Here's what I'm gonna do. You ready for this?
Let's see.
Guys are gonna love this.
Some latkes.
No. I'm thinking I'm going to do Hebrew National hot dogs.
Okay.
Wrapped in turkey bacon.
Oh, turkey bacon don't sit well.
I know, but I mean, like the bacon wrapped hot dog, I mean, it's just like it smells delish and it looks amazing. And I love all the peppers and the onions and everything that looks good on it. But I'm going to do mine. I'm going to do Hebrew National hot dogs, ketchup, mustard, onions, relish, kraut. I'm going old school.
Okay.
Kraut. Yeah.
All right. That is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. What else you need to know is that Sedano and Cap are taking over the morning show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We are going to be on 7 to 10 tomorrow because we're not going to be on. We wouldn't be on tomorrow because of the Lakers playing so early. So we're going to be on 7 to 10 a.m. mañana.
I can't believe it, man.
Who's coming in late? If you guys had a pick.
Well, if there was pick between one or the other, it's definitely going to be me.
Really?
You would be the later of the two of us.
Of the two of us, yes.
Yeah.
Although I set my alarm for 5:40, that's plenty of time.
Because I'm uptight when it comes to being on time, you know. And also, I've got the long drive.
I am too, but I feel like I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember the traffic at that time of the morning anymore.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was going to put into Waze. How long will it take me to get from South LA to downtown LA if I leave at 4 a.m.? Because my assumption is that I could actually beat traffic tomorrow morning. I figure I could be parked at LA Live by 6 a.m., and then I've beaten morning traffic.
Oh, no. If you get here, well, when I used to do the morning show, like 5 a.m., there's already people on the roads.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But back then, I used to live in Pasadena for most of that show, so that was a different like side of the 110.
Oh, yeah, you're coming.
From the South Bay, it's not as bad.
Let me see.
But somebody look on Waze from Encinitas to downtown LA to LA Live.
Can you do Waze like where you can put in like a time?
Yeah.
I just use Apple Maps. I'm not going to do
Apple
Waze.
Apple Maps sucks.
But you put in a time?
Like, yeah, you can put a time.
Yeah, George, you can put in like, hey, predict traffic for us based on historical information.
Yep. No, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, copy.
Okay, Encinitas, right.
Vamos a ver cuánto te va a tocar.
Right. See?
Yeah, you're not that far.
How bad?
You're not that
100 miles. How bad?
Far. It says it's 83 miles, Cappies.
Nah, well, I'm a little bit further south, but okay.
Okay, but it says it's about an hour and 15.
Hour 15 for 100 miles?
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's motoring is what that is.
No, there's no way.
There's no way. Oh, I put my mama's address. My bad, Cappy.
Oh, you're being, huh?
I was going to say.
I ain't coming from your mama house.
That's in West Covina, bro.
Okay.
So
I mean, maybe if she's making tamales, maybe I'll stop
by. Oh, you know
what?
She made pozole.
Oh, pozole.
So she made pozole. Yeah. So I was like, ooh, ma, you. So you're coming at 4 a.m., right?
Yeah. Can she make some albondigas for me?
No, it says 1:30.
Oh, damn.
1:30.
It's saying
1:30 on mine.
It's saying anywhere between 35 and 45 minutes for me.
An hour 30, Cap. So I wasn't that far off.
That's plenty.
Hour 30.
I get here at like 15 minutes to spare. We good.
What if I left? What if I left at 4:30 then? Maybe instead of 4 a.m., maybe I'll sleep in. Maybe I'll leave at 4:30.
Okay, I'm going to do 4:30 for you, but I don't recommend that because things happen. Right. So, you know, I'm not going to.
I'm leaving at 4 a.m.
An hour 40.
Okay, I'm leaving at 4 a.m. I don't care.
Yeah, an hour 40.
Oh, by the way, my wife texted me back that she wasn't married to Elon Grimes. She was. She just had kids.
She's a baby mama.
Yeah.
How many kids do Grimes and Elon have?
Kids, plural, so I'm assuming more than one.
She never got to work a day in her life, so she loves what she do.
Mm-hmm. That truck, by the way, those new Tesla trucks, those new Elon trucks, what are they called?
Yeah, those weirdo, like, tank-looking things.
I got to tell you something right now. They're ugly.
They're not good look. I wouldn't buy one.
They're an ugly
Even if
vehicle.
I had the money, I wouldn't buy one.
Yeah, they're just ugly. Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of grew on me.
No,
I swear. I see one in the garage underneath, close. I don't know. It's got a little.
It looks like. Have you ever seen the movie Mad Max?
Yeah, I have. Actually,
it's like that. It just that's what that reminds me of.
I don't like them.
That's a good one. Yeah.
So anyway, so tomorrow morning we'll be on because we wouldn't have normally been on because the Lakers tomorrow play on the East Coast and they'll play in New Orleans against the Pelicans. George, I really like my inclination is to think that the Lakers are, based on what they did yesterday, going to destroy the Pelicans.
Well, I don't think destroy. I think it'll be a closer game because, again, as I mentioned earlier during Crosstalk with Mason and Ireland and you, since COVID, the NBA has done these kind of weird kind of baseball series kind of things where, you know, they're playing two games with these teams and there's like a day or so in between. And usually what happens is in the first game, a team wins and the team that wins the first game generally is at a disadvantage the next game because the next team is like, well, we ain't losing them twice in a row in our own place. You know what I mean? Like, so that stuff has worked against the team that's won the first game. While the Lakers have had a successful run this year against the Pelicans, last year the Pelicans took care of business against them. It's been weird. So was OKC, for that matter. Last year was different than this year. But I think they're going to win. But I don't think it's like a given that they're going to win. I think this game will be closer. So this notion of tanking the game seems even more absurd to me because of that.
Yeah, I guess my point is this. My first instinct is they beat the crap out of them yesterday, right? It wasn't even really a competitive game. As a matter of fact, I can tell you this right now. The Lakers probably had about a 21-ish point lead in the game. There's about 5 minutes and change to go. And I'm texting with the group going, why are LeBron and AD in the game?
Right. You were right, 100% Cap, and then AD had the thing with the back spasms. Right.
And I was like, but what are they still doing in the game? Like, if anything, you want to give those two guys an opportunity to come out of a game.
Yeah.
You've dominated it. You're not going to lose it. Now, everybody
would say,
that's
a bad job by the coaching staff.
Everybody would say to me, no, man, with 5 minutes to go, you just never know in an NBA game. Okay, I'll grant you that. But come on, 21 points. I mean, New Orleans.
Well, no, you sit them there, and if by the next time out with under three, it gets closer, you bring them back in. But like, I'm with you.
Yeah, they didn't seem all that interested in this game yesterday for whatever reason. I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, maybe it's a Sunday game. They were out partying the night before. I have no idea. But the Lakers knew that this was a very, very important game to them. You know, hey, listen, maybe you ready for this? For all the smart basketball people out there, for everybody who's a basketball savant, let me throw this idea at you, George.
Yeah.
What if the Pelicans threw the game yesterday because they wanted the Lakers in the first game of the play-in at home? How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, for all this talk about the Lakers should just lose and sacrifice the game, you know, I told you earlier today, Lakers Nation has a poll. Should the Lakers tank this game? And 75% of Laker fans are like, absolutely not. Who cares if Denver's what's waiting for you? You got to win to get in.
Well, you got to beat them at some point anyway.
Man up and take it.
Yeah, man up. That's exactly right. You tell them, Queen.
No, but that's it. You have to play them at some point anyway.
Yeah, might as well do it now.
I mean, let me ask you guys a question. You tank this game, you lose, you come back home, you beat either Sacramento or Golden State, right? You go into the playoffs, you play Oklahoma City, who's the number one seed.
And by the
seed.
Way, what if they beat you?
Okay, but let's just play this out. Let's just say you play Oklahoma City, who's the number one seed, you win that series. Then you find yourself eventually playing Denver and you lose. What do you go? Oh, it was a successful season because we made it deeper into the playoffs? Losing to Denver is losing to Denver. Doesn't matter if it's the first round or the conference finals. Bro, get it. Just go. You don't take the risk of losing this first game. And anybody who says that they should tank it doesn't understand sports.
Harrison Fagan. Steve,
and that includes Harrison Fagan.
Steve Mason.
And him, too.
And Mike Greenberg.
And him, of course.
Are gutless. Gutless is what I said.
Guys don't understand sports. You hear that, DeAndre?
Yeah.
They need some tinfoil hats.
Yeah, man.
So, Cappy, Oliver Padre tweets us and says about the Ohtani ball. You brought that up earlier. Says, yes, there's a ceremonial ball right now for Ohtani when he bats because his next home run will be his 176th home run, which will pass Hideki Matsui, the most ever by a Japanese player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And I guess, listen, I'm sure it's not the first ceremonial baseball in the history of baseball, but it did yesterday cause some confusion and kind of stopped the game.
Yeah.
Imagine what that ball is going to be if his first home run as the Dodger was so big and then now this one. Like, how much swarming is that going to happen when that he hits that home run?
I don't know. We'll have to ask that dude out in the outfield, the ball.
We may get him on.
I might have him.
We may get him.
Oh, yeah? Did somebody in the circle find him?
No, where about
Laura's got her ways, yo. Yeah.
The queen. Oh, queen. Go get it, girl.
Yeah. All right. We'll figure it out if we have him on the other side. We'll get to that. But, Cappy, tell him about Prize Picks.
Okay. Let me tell you, when I say to you that Prize Picks changes the way you watch sports, let me give you an example of what I mean, okay? I can tell you right now that the Colorado Rockies are playing the Philadelphia Phillies. Does anybody here have any interest in that game? I don't. I have no interest in that game. However, I took Bryce Harper tonight in my Prize Picks to have more than 1.5 total bases. So I can see, I'm watching the box score right now, Bryce Harper is 1-for-3, so he's got a hit, and he's got a walk. So Bryce Harper, by my math, should have given me my 1.5 total bases. He should have been on base twice, and that means I'm going to win because I put it together with Joe Musgrove of the Padres and Joe Ross, the starting pitcher from the Milwaukee Brewers, that one of these two guys would give up a run in the first inning and leave it to Musgrove. He did. So I'm going to be a big winner tonight. And tomorrow, I've already made my Prize Picks for tomorrow's Laker game. I've got Rui Hachimura to go for more than 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And I've got Brandon Ingram, who, you know, is recently back from injury for New Orleans, and I've got him to score for more than 18.5 points. I'm telling you that downloading the Prize Picks app and using my code Cappy, where they'll give you a first deposit match 100% up to $100. Does that make sense? You put in $100, they put in $100, you've got $200. Now you're playing basketball playoffs, you're playing baseball, you're playing darts on Thursday. You're going to love it. You're going to have a great time. Download the Prize Picks app, use my code Cappy, they'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100, and get in the game with me and 3 million other people and start playing Prize Picks because the game is so easy and it's so fun, and you're going to have a great time and you're going to be a winner. Download the Prize Picks app and use my code Cappy.
Oh, come on now, yeah. D?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we already know what's going on with this. It got some controversial stuff going on all over social media.
All right, fill me in.
This is Future's latest album. You know, it's called We Don't Trust You, featuring Metro Boomin. And this song right here is called Like That with Kendrick. And the reason why this song is so big is because Kendrick, you know, this verse right here kind of threw up a, you know, a little sneak diss to Drake, man.
Yeah, yeah. And then Drake said, called him a short or something. I don't know. He called him like a pipsqueak or something.
Pipsqueak and all that. And then it started escalating even more because Rick Ross started getting involved.
And then
Drake started, and then The Weeknd is also on this album with Future, and he had some words to say about Drake. So, yeah.
Why has everybody got a problem with Drake? That's my Hebraic Canadian hermano.
I don't know, but
he's soft.
Soft?
Why are you calling the man soft?
Yeah. Really? He calling him soft? Well, she calls AD soft, too.
Yeah, that, too.
So, yeah, this is the reason why, you know, I'm kind of spitting the ones and twos with this because, you know, it's a hot track right now, and, you know the sneak dissing is real out there.
There's a lot. It ain't even sneak. It's like real.
It's starting to become real dissing. Yeah.
Yeah. He a real one.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Cappy, you should make a diss track.
You know, I do like an idea of a diss track. Who do you think I should diss first, though?
Well, who's to Morales, right?
I should diss Morales?
Yeah, I feel like that's the obvious one. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Who else? Who else? But I got to have other people to diss, though.
Can you get Romeo with you? Romeo on your radio?
Oh, Romeo and me. See,
you and Romeo on your radio do the diss track together.
That's the collab I'm looking for. Because, you know, I was talking to Romeo earlier today, because now that we're BFFs, we talk every day. And I was telling him, I was like, yo, dog, so tomorrow morning, you know, me and Sedano, we're doing mornings from 7 to 10 a.m. Maybe we should, you know, maybe do a collab tomorrow morning, but I don't know, man.
Cappy, Laura's got somebody on the phone for us.
Does she got that Renan dude?
Yeah. Renan? Is it Renan or Renan?
Renan, Rainier, Renan. I don't know. Buster only called him Renan.
To see if it's him. You know, I'm not trying to lose my job.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, he says it on the caller ID. So
how are you going to vet him?
I'll put him up. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you going to vet this fool?
No, she's vetting him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told her how to vet him.
Oh, you did? What'd you tell her to do?
I told her to ask some things.
Like what?
Just things.
Like, yo, man, what's your problem?
No, man. Oh. That kind of thing. What's wrong with you?
Did he ask him about a diss track against Drake?
I'm sorry?
I did not ask him about a diss track about okay. Drake.
Oh, I was
yeah.
like, what?
And Kendrick, yeah.
So he says it's him. He did say who interviewed him, but yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it's yeah. been everywhere. So
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. So is it Renan?
Yeah, Renan.
What's up, man? All right, thank you for coming on today. I feel like you're the most famous person in LA today.
Dude, I was obsessed. I wanted to talk to you from the minute I saw this go down last night on TV. I'm like, let's get that guy on the air.
Well, I appreciate you guys reaching out. And yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of press and, you know, attention this has gotten.
All right, so who hit you up first on the text when you did the interview with Buster Olney? Like, which one of your boys hit you up first?
Well, before the interview even happened, the second I was surprised how many people I personally knew that were watching the game live, because within under a minute, phone call after phone call, text message after text message, DM, everything. Like, I had at least 50 people hit me up within 10 minutes of it happening, even before Buster Olney interviewed me.
Well, that's because we all busted you on live TV, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, listen, well, listen. Here's the thing. You know, you made a great catch.
There's no doubt.
I'm going to give you a lot of credit. You know what I mean? You went up high. You got it at its highest point. You know, your jacket came up. Your shirt came up. You know what I mean? You made an athletic play. And equally as athletic was the way you brought the ball home and simultaneously took the other ball out of your right pocket and threw it out onto the field. I mean, I'm going to give you a lot of credit. It was a very athletic play, but why would you want to keep the Machado ball? I don't understand. He's the hated Padre. Why would you want to keep it?
You're right. Manny Machado is one of the top five baseball players that I can't stand. But besides the point, it's irrelevant who hit the ball to me. The idea is I've been going to games since I was a little kid, and catching a home run ball off of a bat on the fly is something that, you know, as a little kid you dream of. And, you know, we're all sports fans, we're all little kids. I don't care. I'm 45 years old now. I'm still a little kid at heart, you know, and that opportunity isn't going to come across, you know, maybe again, maybe not. But, you know, to me, when I caught it, I was like, really? It had to be Manny Machado. But, you know,
now,
it is what it is, you know.
Now, let me ask you this, because I actually give you credit for the planning of all this. Like, the fact that you went there with a ball in your pocket, to me, was hilarious, okay? So, like, when you're thinking about, like, what made you think, I should just take another ball and throw the fake ball on the field? Like, what did you think of that yourself? Did your friends think of that? Like, how did that even come about? Like, how did you think of that?
Yes. So I'm a Dodgers season ticket holder. I live in Victorville, so I'm working right now. I get to about 25, 30 games a year. And back in 2007, I got a Padre home run hit by Morgan Ensberg off of David Wells. And I didn't catch it on the fly, but I ran down below. This is when the Dodgers still had the staircase. And I came up with the ball, and it was the first home run ball I'd ever gotten in my life. And it was, you know, lifelong dream moment, which, you know, hey, whatever, you know, bucket list item for me, I guess. And Everybody was on me to throw the ball back. And you know, normally they boo you for a little bit. They chant, throw it back. And after 20, 30 seconds, it dies down. Everybody moves on with life. Well, this particular day, nobody was moving on with life. They were hassling me. People were walking up to me, wanting me to give them the ball so they could throw it back. And finally, when things were dying down, Mike Cameron hits a home run and in the right field. And that fan threw it back. And so they're on me even worse. So it didn't subside. The inning ended. I had gone early for batting practice that day. I'd gotten a few baseballs. I stood up. I tossed it. I didn't want to throw a ball back during the middle of the play because then I'd get ejected. So when the inning ended, I got the ball, tossed it up a few times in the air so people saw I had the ball, and I chucked it onto the field. They cheered me, and they left me alone. Ever since then, I know if I'm going to catch a ball, have a throwaway ball. There's many guys that go to Dodger games trying to catch balls, and they're called ball hawks, and you know, they all have extra balls. I'm not the only one that does it. I guess I'm just the first one to get caught on national TV.
Yeah, you did. You did get caught. But here's a question I have. And Renan, just do this favor for us, because they only identified you last night as Renan. What's your last name?
Zuniga.
Zuniga?
Zuniga.
Zuniga.
Z-U-N-I-G-A. Yeah. Okay, Zuniga.
And you're from Victorville, is that right?
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, so my question is this. The ball that you bring, which is going to be your throwaway ball, right? Is it a Major League Baseball, or is it like...
Correct. It's a Major League Baseball that I have already gotten in the past. My wife gets on me because, you know, I didn't used to give them away. Now, I pretty much, when I get them, I give them away, unless it's a game home run like that. But I have hundreds and hundreds of baseballs at the house. And so I usually take my nephews or my daughter with me. I usually take a ball that's in good condition for potential autograph and a ball that's got a little used to it. And if that's my throwaway ball back. If I don't catch a ball that day, which, you know, happens 99.9% of the time, I'll find a kid and hand it to him on the, you know, as soon as the game ends, a kid next to me with a glove that looked like he didn't get a ball that day. But this time I needed to use it this time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you surprised that Buster Olney came to grab you during the game?
Yes and no. I right away, everybody was texting me, calling me, saying, like, I saw you on TV. I saw you on TV. And then it was like, they busted you. And I was like, oh, great. I got busted. You know, when he came down and introduced himself, at that point, I wasn't surprised because friends of mine were already telling me, hey, they're making they're talking about you. They keep showing you. They caught you.
Yeah, so they caught you on your phone a million times, too.
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, you kept answering your phone because everybody was calling you.
Yeah, I couldn't get off the next call quick enough because the next call was coming through and the next call was coming through and the next call was coming through and then the text messages. And I tried to respond to as many people as I could, but, you know, I wasn't able to, but I got to most of them.
All right. So, dude, I just want to say, politically speaking, you and I are on the other side of the aisle because I'm one of these people who thinks that you should not bring a glove to a game and you should be a real man and catch it barehanded. Now, how do you feel about that? Why the glove at the game?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Why not? You know, I've left my glove and I've had a chance to catch an Andre Ethier ball and it literally hits me in the bare hands and somebody 5 seats over just falls into their lap like nothing. And they get to reap the rewards when they weren't even trying to get the ball. I mean, you know, plus these balls come at you 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, they're fast, bro. The exit velo.
Yeah, like, hey, I can try to be a man and catch it. But when I drop it and somebody else picks it up and then I look like the, you know. I'd rather just make the catch and, you know.
Well, I ain't mad at you for that, but what did you do with the ball? Like, where is the ball right now?
Yeah, where's the Machado
home run ball? I have a man cave upstairs where I have tons of Dodger memorabilia, and it is on the, well, I call it the mantle, but it's, you know, it's underneath the TV right next to my Albert Pujols home run derby ball that I caught in 2022 at the home run derby at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Now, do you write on the ball like Manny Machado, April 14th, Dodgers, Padres? Do you write on it so that you know?
I do not, but I can identify that ball. When I catch a batting practice home run ball on the fly, the last few years I've decided to write the names down. on it on the date, you know, so like I have a, you know, some Albert Pujols, Mookie Betts, Will Smith, you know, it's cool to be like, oh yeah, I caught this player's ball on this date. But if it's a game used home run ball like that or the derby ball, there's only the two balls on display like that. So I know what those balls are.
And but there's and no do, authentication, would you want, though,
well,
there?
I mean, you don't like Machado because all Dodger fans hate Machado.
Right. True.
Would you want him because you didn't feel like he legged out, you know, ground balls to first base or whatever when he was here? But would you want him to sign it or no?
You know, a lot of people tell me, you know, you should get it signed, and you know, I have mixed feelings about it, but you know. I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, would it be cool if he signed it? Yeah, but, you know, do I need it? Do I need it signed? No, but would it be a cool thing to have? Well, of course, because in 20 years, you know, Machado won't be in the league anymore. He might be a Hall of Famer, you know, despite his, you know.
But there's no way to authenticate that ball, though, right? Like, that was like the whole controversy with the Ohtani, the first one, which was they said, hey, we won't authenticate it if you don't give it back, which means that it loses all of its value. There's no authentication of a ball like that, is there?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's not a ball I'd ever sell. It's for my personal collection. And you know, the authentication will never happen. Nobody will know that is the ball. But the only person that needs to know that that's the ball is me, you know?
Yeah. Well,
your
listen,
wife's going to make you clean that room out.
Listen, Manny grew up in the same neighborhood I grew up in back in the day. I grew up in South Florida, and you know, Cappy's a Padre fan. Maybe we can figure this out, Cappy. Maybe we can get Ren and get Manny to sign it for him. You know what I mean?
I'm not doing that.
You're not?
Why? No,
damn, dog.
Well, first of all, listen. Manny Machado, to me, 2 years ago, I was like, wow, I really am impressed with him because he kind of came with a bad reputation. And then last year, I was so disgusted by the Padres, I was really turned off. This year,
nobody cares about the Padres anymore. We don't have to get that deep into it.
Well, but I mean, you want me to go down? What am I going to do? Walk up to Manny Machado and go, "Yo, man, the guy who caught that home run at a Dodger Stadium asked me to bring it to you," and so I'm not doing that.
Well, if the Padres come to town, the next time they come to town,
you ain't doing it.
If I see him and I know that you're there, Renan, I'll ask him, you know?
You ain't doing it.
And what do you mean I won't do it? If I don't get to a lot of Dodger games because I'm just busy doing other stuff, basketball and all sorts of other stuff. But if I happen to be there, I'd ask him.
Why don't you get a credential? Go down to the clubhouse. Go find him.
That's what I'm saying. But what if I'm doing other work? Anyway.
All right, Renan, get George that ball immediately.
No, don't get me the ball.
Give it to him.
If your boy listens to the station, listens to the show, so your boy will contact you. If I know I can make it, your boy will find you, I'm sure.
Do you even want it signed by Machado? Yes or no? I mean, like, is it something you want George to do for you? Because he'll do it. He's a sweetheart like that.
Well, if he's offering, I'm not going to say no.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out. When do they play again here in Dodger Stadium?
Guy's an angel.
We'll figure that out.
All right, we'll figure that out. All right, we got your number. Well, that's right. We got your number now.
Hey, congratulations on all the newfound fame, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys reaching out. And, yeah, I didn't think this was that big of a deal, but, you know, hey, you know, other people did, and you know, people are treating me like I'm a celebrity here.
Oh, dude, it was hilarious. Like, I didn't see it live because I was doing something at home, and then because the game was on, I missed it, and then I saw it on social media, and I was like, we couldn't stop talking about it in our group chat. So
it was incredible.
Thank you for joining us, and you know, we'll try to. We got your number. If I do go to a Padre game, I will at least ask him, and then we'll try to get it hooked up for you.
I appreciate it. And there's a lot worse you can get caught on national TV doing.
So yes, no question about that.
Not much.
Doesn't seem like the worst thing, you know?
No, it's pretty bad.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Pretty bad, man. Pretty damn bad.
Yo, be good, man. Thanks for coming on.
Later, dog.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
See ya. Ren and Zuniga.
Way to go, Queen.
Yeah, good job, Laura.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. When this all happened yesterday, we're in our group chat, and I'm going, guys.
We need to get this guy on.
We got to get this guy on the
100%,
air.
Yes. Yeah. And we got him on. Great job,
Laura. Way to go,
Laura.
Queen.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We had a huge explosion, too, on our social channels, on Twitter. People were watching. Like, our thing grew like fourfold, basically, when I retweeted that this guy was on with us. So it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, we'll get back to our show. We got Big Deal or No Deal next, and Cappy's Dealer's Choice is supposed to be a good one today. Not that it's not good every day, Cappy.
No, this one's special.
Right, there you go. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll be back in a second. Thanks, Christopher. All right, Laura, you take it away.
All right, guys. So I wanted to do this story because you guys travel so much and you might know this restaurant. And honestly, I just fell in love with the name. So a popular fast food chain, Bojangles, is expanding.
Oh, yeah. Come on,
love
girl.
Bojangles.
That is so good.
Really? Yeah. I've never
Every
had it.
Every time I'm in the Carolinas, I hit me some Bojangles. It is just a different level of good fast food fried chicken that you don't get in a lot of places.
Bojangles was Popeye's before Popeye.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. That's exactly the way to describe it. Yes.
All right. Well, Bojangles, I just like saying the name, is expanding to LA. The fast food chain specializes, as you guys said, in fried chicken and biscuits. The 30 planned LA County locations will join their 800 restaurants portfolio that they have across the United States. And from all of you guys' reaction, should I even say this is a big...
Big deal, girl. I mean, listen, I haven't seen a Bojangles in a really long time. There was one when one by the airport when I grew up as a kid down there in South Florida. But the only other times I've seen it is when I'm like in the South, you know, like flying around to do college football
games.
They're
the Southern thing,
yeah. Sure. Yeah. So like whenever I'm in the Carolinas, I find me some Bojangles for sure.
I'd say it's not a big deal for only one reason.
Okay.
I'm probably going to only go like one time. And then I'm going to have to go home and take my cholesterol medication.
Oh, Cap. You always got to make a sad.
You know what I mean? Come on, Bojangle. But I'll tell you this. You know what would be kind of a cool thing to do? A Bojangle Popeye's Chick-fil-A off. You know? Like, I don't know if Bojangle got a really good chicken sandwich.
I don't think they make a sandwich.
Yeah, I'm not sure they do either.
I think they just make straight up fried chicken.
You can do churches. Popeyes.
Oh, church is right, yeah.
Churches, Popeyes, Bojangles.
Church is right.
I mean, I know, but KFC, but like all the chicken, you know?
Like, yeah. Dude, if you put a bucket of KFC in front of me and I put some of that down, trust me when I tell you, I'm going to need to go to the back of the car and get them extra underpants.
Oh, they have chicken on a biscuit. They do have it.
Ooh, chicken on a biscuit sounds fire AF.
Those biscuits go crazy.
What time does Chick-fil-A open in the morning? Because tomorrow when I leave
I
at 4 a.m.
I think 6 a.m.
Oh, and they have a regular chicken sandwich now, too, actually.
Oh, God, I want that. When I leave at 4 a.m., I would have some Chick-fil-A tomorrow morning. I'll tell you that right now.
So, DeAndre, when I told him, I'm like, oh, I just want to say the name Bojangles. His face was, like, lit. Like, there was like, stars in his eyes when I told him that
it
was coming to
LA. I went for the first time when I was in Atlanta, and they had one in the airport when I got off, and like, man. I was like, what is Bojangles? I remember I called my mom. It's like, no, you got it. I called my mom and pops. She's like, you got to try it. And when I tried it, my goodness.
You called your mother. Hey, Ma, I'm in the airport in Atlanta. They got a Bojangles. What's Bojangles?
My mom
told you.
My mom and pops from down south. You know, they got
really?
I got family all in Louisiana, man. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that where they're from?
Well, my pops is from down south. He's from Houston, Texas. But I got my grandma's from Louisiana.
Okay. All right. Well, Bojangles is fire. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I'm excited because y'all are talking about it like it's really, really good, and I'm all about fried chicken. So,
put it this way: Bojangles coming to LA is like when Boise, Idaho gets an In-N-Out, and then you got like 4-hour lines at In-N-Out because people are like, I've heard about In-N-Out forever.
Well, I remember when the Popeye's chicken sandwich was a thing. Like, I waited for like 20 minutes in a line of drive-thru.
That's not bad.
20 minutes, that's nothing.
Yeah, some people are waiting for like hours.
No, I waited for a little while until like the stuff cooled off for a little.
Dude, people were throwing hands back then for a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Mm, yeah.
And by the way, I still think the Chick-fil-A sandwich is better.
Nah.
I know it's a controversial statement.
You know, Mateo likes the Chick-fil-A, although I don't think he's ever had Popeyes, so there's that. You know what I mean?
Hook that kid up.
You know, we got to do a taste test with him. Mm-hmm. Although he doesn't have, you know, a sophisticated palate, you know.
Kids are really honest when they like something and they don't. So you're going to know, like, real quick, si le gusta o no.
Yeah.
Si le gusta o no is right.
All right, guys. So, I don't know if you guys were into this show, but a 90s TV show drama that was based in L.A. is making a return.
With L.A. Law?
Melrose Place.
Oh, damn.
Love Melrose Place.
Yeah, so it debuted in 1992, and it's getting a reboot with some of the original cast.
Is Heather Locklear going to be on it?
I mean, I don't know, Cappy.
I loved Heather Locklear.
I mean, but is Heather Locklear still going to be on Melrose Place?
I don't know. Maybe she's like the grandmother of one of the people on Melrose Place.
I was just
going to
say, like, what is like her role going to be? You know,
I don't know. Hey, girl, but I'll tell you right now, Heather Locklear, you're like number two.
Heather Locklear is one of the people that were prized their on-screen roles in the remake of the show. So
I feel like Cappy was super into Melrose Place.
Well, you know what? Me and Morales were at a Laker game earlier this season. And one of the guys who was one of the stars of Melrose Place, I'm trying to remember his name, his character's name was Dr. Something or Other Morales, you'll remember, he was there. at the game. In fact, you know, I think he's really good friends with one of our marketing consultants, Ronald Arthur Mitchell.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I can't remember the dude's name. Tony Cataldi. That doesn't sound right.
Anyway.
Big deal or no deal?
So, Cabby, you going to watch it? You going to big deal?
What's it on, Laura?
It should be on CBS, which was
so Paramount Plus or something?
Yeah, probably.
I would say not a big deal, but I would give it a sample. You know, I give it a shot. I give the new Melrose Place a shot. How about you, George?
Let me see. Melrose Place reboot. Hold on. Let's see.
Jack Wagner going to be on the show, Laura?
It's Daphne Zuniga.
Okay.
Laura Layton.
Let's see.
Price. Yeah, remake with CBS Studios.
Okay. And is there Jack Wagner also, or is he not on it?
I don't think so.
Daphne Zuniga related to Renard Zuniga?
No sé.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
who we just had on? Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure DeAndre doesn't even know what Melrose
Place hell no.
I don't know.
DeAndre, Melrose Place used to come on after Beverly Hills 90210. It was like a two-hour block. Beverly Hills 90210 was like the high school drama, and Melrose Place was like all these people that
the
were
adult
in their
drama.
Like,
yeah,
they're like in their late 20s, early 30s. They're all living in the same place. There's a pool in the middle of the courtyard of this apartment complex, and everybody in the apartment complex is sleeping with everybody else in the apartment complex.
Pretty much.
It was like real life.
That was the whole story.
Right?
It was like real life.
Frenzy looking thing.
Yeah. It's the way it was, man. When you're in your 20s and your early 30s, you just sleep with all your neighbors.
That is not
didn't know that.
True.
That is totally true. That's how it was for me.
That is not true.
That is 100% true.
At all.
When there is a pool in the courtyard, you sleep with everybody in the building.
What kind of neighbors you got?
Seriously, Cappy.
Those are good neighbors.
Well, it was also the 90s. It was also different.
Those were good neighbors.
Sedano, did you engage
No, I didn't sleep with all my neighbors.
Okay. He just doesn't tell you what he did.
No, I didn't sleep. First of all, by the time I had neighbors, it was the 2000s. So it was a different decade.
I slept with all my neighbors.
Oh, hell, a different millennia. Actually, so
Lord,
I have these hot neighbors too, man. I would go to the pool, I'd scout.
I just want to move on to the next one, but I am like very intrigued about his stories. It's just, okay,
all right, what's next? Last one,
okay. All right, so I was gonna do another one, but I'll do this one. So I went to the Kings game over the weekend, they played against the Ducks, and we won. It was Mexican Heritage Night,
okay.
And the merch was on point. I'm actually wearing one of the windbreakers that I bought.
Let me see.
It's cool. I love it.
Okay.
Oh, that is
cool.
That's
pretty dope. That's pretty dope.
See? The Mexican heritage, the flag, the LA. Anyways, but I don't typically buy merch, like special limited edition merch, just because it's a little pricey in there. But they got me, and I went, and I bought this one because the hoodie didn't have my size. And this guy that was, there was a few guys kind of, you know, hefty, a little bit bigger than me. And the guy was like, I'm taking a medium. And we're like, okay, you know, whatever.
Maybe it was for someone else.
No, it was him. Oh. He said
maybe he doesn't button it.
No, it's a hoodie. He had the hoodie.
All right,
but he said, because it was like sizes were kind of gone, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm just going to buy it because it's limited and I want it and I'm going to make myself fit.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, man, do you? Like, this one's a little snuggy too. You know, I get it, but it doesn't have to button up. But my question to you guys, is it a big deal or no deal that you guys buy clothes that you know for a fact that doesn't
fit? Let me tell you something.
Fit?
So I went to Dodger spring training, right? A couple of months ago when I was in Arizona for a basketball game. And I bought a Dodgers, just a dry fit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I didn't realize that I grabbed the wrong one. And I grabbed a medium instead of a large.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it fits fine, but it's like too tight. Like, and I'm like, nah. So I just gave it to my wife. Like, I'm like, you have it. Because it's like, it. First of all, dry fit should fit loose and chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't trying to be like wearing a muscle shirt. You know, I'm 46 years old. So like, it's, but it was like that. Like, and it's, she was like, it looks fine. Like, I tried it out. I'm like, nah, it's just too like tight. And stuff.
Yeah.
So I like, especially for like, sports clothes, like with like sports attire, like from teams, I like it to be loose fitting and chill, you know?
Yeah. Otherwise, you have to consider it like a compression top. You know, I got to keep them boobs.
Or what
in.
If you gain a little weight? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's that too. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you can't wear it. So I was just like, forget it. And I was just like, I'll buy another one.
But
another
see,
time.
You got the wrong size on accident. Like, these people were buying one because it's limited and they're like, we're going to make ourselves fit.
Because you know how they, like, in those stores, they stack them by size,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, they have the sometimes, like the hangers are color coordinated by size.
Right.
So I grabbed the one that I thought was a large because it was the large hanger and it was a medium.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
I've done that too. Cap, is it a big deal or no deal that you're buying clothes that you know is not going to fit you?
I'm going to say it's a big deal, but I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I recently went and bought some new pants, and I bought them bigger so that they were more comfortable. And the saddest part of it all is that recently I put them on, and they actually felt a little too tight. I'm like, wait a second. I bought the pants bigger so that they were looser, so that they made me feel less fat, and now all of a sudden I must have gained even more weight because now these pants are too tight.
Well,
so
they shrunk.
I got a little bit of a problem. Well, I haven't even washed them yet.
Oh, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I know.
Oh,
thank you. Thanks for the effort.
That is Big Deal or No Deal each and every day at approximately 6:30. One more segment to go. Cappy's got a good dealer's choice for us today. But first, yep. As sports fans, you always want your team to be well-coached and win. You know who's always winning and who's always ready for the next opponent? That's right, my guy Jacob. So when you get in an accident, you call him at 844-24-JACOB. Think about it. You've been injured in a car accident, truck accident, slip or fall at the store, rideshare accident, whatever it is. It would feel like you lost the game, right? Well, don't worry. The accident's only the beginning of the game, so when you get in that accident, call him at 844-24-JACOB. Call Jacob and get that free consultation. Trust me, Jacob knows the weakness of the opponent. He knows how to exploit and go and attack against the insurance company to provide you the victory you deserve. So make sure you're on the winning team. You get injured in an accident, don't wait. Call Jacob at 844-24-JACOB. Guys, a lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. You call Jacob, he'll win for you. So call him at 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB, or visit him online at calljacob.com. How long before, Cappy, how long during the first hour of the show do we regret waking up that early to do the show?
Well, I'm just trying to think about this, George. If I leave South LA at 4 a.m., that means I'm probably going to wake up at 3:30 a.m. I'm going to pound some coffee on the way. I'm going to get gas tonight in my car. I'm going to pack my crap tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you got to stay in your L.A. crib. Yeah.
My downtown L.A. crib, the East Central. Where am I going to watch the Laker game tomorrow? I don't know, man. It's going to be, tomorrow is going to be a full sprint from about 3:30 in the morning till about 12 noon for me.
Yeah.
Full sprint. Where am I going to watch the Laker game tomorrow?
I don't know.
We'll find a place, Cap.
I mean, you can watch it here.
I don't want to watch it in the radio station. I mean, I'll watch it in...
go to Kraft.
Kraft is awesome. I love Kraft.
Yeah. There's always a ton of people at Yard House for games.
You know what, Laura? That's a good idea. I do like Kraft. That's
yeah,
a good idea.
Kraft. I'm down. There you go. I'm inviting myself, but let's
go. I'll hang at the bar, me and you, girl.
Yeah. Since maybe, you guys kick me off the show tomorrow.
Maybe the boo wants to come join us.
Oh, there you go.
No.
No,
you don't want the boo around
me.
Cappy
you
anymore?
Me.
No.
Just you and me.
Yeah.
I got it. Hey, listen, you don't want the boo to know how you feel about me? I got that.
Okay. All right.
You don't want him. You don't want to smell. She doesn't want you smelling him anymore.
Oh, he does smell good.
He does smell good, indeed. He does.
Yeah.
Hey, so it's time for a little dealer's choice, George. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me tell everybody a quick story.
Yeah.
So, a lot of you guys in the circle of trust, in particular, saw this play out on social media on Friday. But I want to go back to the story, and then I want to tell you about something that really, really moved me, really special. So, my podcast, my daily podcast, Kaplan and Crew. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the guys on the show, George, you know him because you've been on many times.
Yeah.
Is a guy named John Browner.
Yeah.
He's about 40 years old, African-American dude from Chicago, played college basketball, is a huge, huge basketball fan. And every time George comes on my podcast, Browner and George go crazy at each other about who knows more about the NBA, right? So... he's a great guy, George, and 5 years ago, when my original radio station went off the air, this is long before I was working here at 710, this was one of the guys that was really ultra loyal to me to like help me go from transitioning from radio into podcast and then back into radio. Anyway, long story short is, about 2 weeks ago, his older sister died from kind of out of nowhere, and it was a very sad story. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a lot of detail. And the sister died, and he's like, hey, listen, man, I'm going to need a few days off because I got to go back to Chicago, and I got to deal with it, and I got to help bury my sister. And this guy's got four young kids, George. I mean, All these kids are, like, under 5 years old. So I knew that he was under a lot of financial and emotional stress because he had to fly to Chicago, and then he had to help bury his sister. And, you know, listen, it's not like you guys making millions of dollars being a co-host on a podcast, you know? So he calls me. This is now last week. He flew to Chicago, buried his sister, came back to San Diego. And then this was on a Saturday. And on Sunday morning, he calls me. He goes, hey, man, I'm not going to make it to tomorrow's show. I go, what's going on? You okay? Dude, my mom died.
Crazy.
So in a period of about a week.
Yeah, insane.
His sister died. And then his mother died. And by the way, you know what the mom died of? I don't know like the official diagnosis, but she died of a broken heart.
Oh, because of the sister passing away.
The sister. Now, here's this young man who lives in California, but his mom and his sister are back in Chicago, and these are the two women in his life, and his dad wasn't around, and he's the man of the family.
Right.
So now not only did he have to bury his sister and fly back to take care of his four kids, but then his mom dies the next day, and he's got to fly back to Chicago, and now he's got to bury his mom.
Right.
Right? So I said to this kid, I said, John, I know you're a very prideful guy, and I know you're probably going to say no, but will you please, please, please let me help you? And when I say help him, I mean, honestly, George, I thought I was going to wind up paying like 10 grand for the funeral. Mm. Seriously. He said, no, man, I can't let you help me, blah, blah, blah. And then I said to him, I go, John, I go, I'm telling you right now, people love you and people would want to help you. And people understand grief and people understand stress. People will help you. Please let me. So we set up a GoFundMe.
Right.
This is on Friday morning of last week. I put out a video on Friday morning on Twitter and Instagram. I told the story just like I told it to you, just a lot shorter. George, I had a friend put in $500. I put in $500. And before I knew it, I'm going to tell you something right now. You are an angel, okay? You are a sweetheart. You know the guy. But for you to put up $500 for somebody that you just kind of barely know, but because they're important to me, you know, at least that's the way I accepted it.
Yeah.
And then Chris Morales put up $100. And so between just a few of us, we'd already raised $1,600 of $3,000. George, do you know that right now, a GoFundMe that we started just so that this guy could pay funeral costs, which he needed $3,000 for, you know how much we're at right now?
How much?
$8,500.
That's great.
$8,500. We've had people who've been listening down at my San Diego people for years. One guy put in $619.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
We had a guy just put in $1,000 here this afternoon. Listeners, Miss Molly, who's in part of the Circle of Trust, she put in $50. You know that Casper Villa zelled me $40. He was like, I don't want to use GoFundMe. I'll zell you. It didn't matter if it was $10, $20.
Yeah.
George, you were so generous at $500, which was way over the top, and I was so moved by that. But this guy needed our help, and our community, and both communities, really, came to his rescue. And for that, George, I want you to know something. You are an angel of a guy, and I will never forget how generous you were to somebody that you barely even know but is connected to me. So thank you, man. All the love to you and to Morales and everybody else who contributed.
Listen, you text me. I was on a flight when I saw this. So I wanted to act immediately just because, when I saw the story, I was like, good Lord, for that to happen to anyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I would, you know, putting... Bearing two people, right, is expensive. That's just the reality of it. So, I just figured I'd do what I do. Whatever you put in, I was going to match. So that's just what I did. That was just kind of the reaction. And yeah, I know him a little bit. I know him through you, but he is incredibly important to you. I don't think there's any question about that. And he's always, despite the arguing about basketball, we've always laughed about it. So I think it's funny. Like, he seems like a great dude.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I appreciate Morales doing that. And all the listeners who kind of go back and forth between the Circle of Trust and the Cappy Cast, I'm telling you guys, I was so moved. And this kid is back in Chicago cleaning out his mother's apartment and getting
tough.
Ready to bury her. And he is just feeling the love. So for everybody that helped out, just want to say thank you. And George, to you and to Morales, that was really special to me. Thank you.
Of course, buddy. No worries. That's, you know, that's real life stuff. You know what I mean? So
it is.
All right, Cappy. I think we have another 40 seconds. If you have anything else you want to throw in about maybe like, you know, because that was very touching and moving. But if you want to talk about maybe like, you know, stooping your neighbors again, I mean, for 30 seconds.
Well, let me tell you something. Anybody who's ever been in their mid-20s, okay, who lived in an apartment complex, particularly where there was a pool and hot chicks lay out in bikinis and you go scouting the pool, everybody in the apartment complex sleeps together. Okay. And that's a fact, Jack. All right. And I had many hot neighbors and I, you know, listen, I tried to make sure I didn't like, you know, hey, she's over in building C. She's over in building F. You know what? I'm going to make my way around. You know, that happened.
All right, Cappy, we're done here. Great job, Cappy. DeAndre, excellent work. Christopher, The Circle. Laura, thank you for sitting in.
Yeah,
we will talk to you mañana, 7 a.m., 7 to 10. Sedano and Cap, morning takeover. See you.